All right, welcome back to the next call in line here for the Founding Members Club. I am Joshua Pellissier, of course, author of The Dial of Badass. And with me, I have Brad as well, who's here. I'm going to be leading most of this call. Brad, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, great. Couldn't hear you at all until you just unmuted yourself. So, all right, so essentially, over the past month, we've had a couple of calls sort of focused around the idea of, you know, for lack of a better term, inner game, sort of belief, not necessarily just belief creation, but belief creation, belief replacement. So if you have some, you know, bad beliefs that have been hurting you over time or just aren't helping you, how to replace your crappy beliefs with ones that are actually going to serve you. And then, of course, how to solidify your beliefs and you know, which beliefs are best for building confidence, which ones are best for really generating the kind of attractive personality naturally that women are going to be absolutely drawn toward. Brad, do you want to go ahead and sort of go over some of the things that we talked about over the past month that sort of stood out to you, and you know, just sort of recap real quick, and I'll sort of jump in every couple of seconds.
Sure. Yeah. So we start off by talking about how powerful it is to reprogram your unconscious mind by using your conscious mind. So by that, I mean, basically, if you say something out loud, then your brain basically tells your subconscious to start, like, that's true. So it can work in a really positive or really negative way.
Right.
So knowing that, you can take advantage of it and make sure to keep a positive tongue, as you say.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not just that it's, you know, the positive parts of everything obviously are very important, and being able to recognize the, well, you know, the positive things that you can say or recognize the negative stuff that you are saying and get rid of that is very important. And I think that what you're sort of hitting at here is that the point is that your conscious mind actually does control your subconscious mind, and a lot of people don't believe that, don't know that. And so what happens is, you know, your subconscious mind is where all your beliefs live, and also where your body language lives, and also where your emotion lives. So we end up being controlled by our emotions because we don't think that we can actually control our subconscious mind. But our subconscious mind takes cues on what to believe because from our conscious mind. And so what ends up happening is we see the world around us, we interpret that a certain way, and our subconscious minds begin to make us feel a certain way. Right, Brad? So that's essentially what you're trying to say. And for me, when I first found this out, it was a massive, massive awakening, because it meant that I could change my beliefs if I really wanted to. And it took me about, I don't know, probably about 3 years to really be able to understand how to use it. And I practiced a lot and everything. And I found out that there's some sort of fallacies to the way that people use this. One of those ways is affirmations. And they just would just say positive things, hoping that positive things would happen. And it was a little bit more, you know, in depth than that. It wasn't so simple. It wasn't just like you think something positive and something positive happens. It's more like you think something positive and then your subconscious mind starts to challenge it until it, you know, whichever one pursues longer, you know, whichever one persists and endures is the one that ends up being the final belief system. And of course, your belief systems then create your body language. So if your body language is unattractive and you don't know that, your belief systems are what create that body language. And so then it changes the way you move your body. And then, of course, women see the way you move your body and they decide whether or not they're attracted to you based on that. Mostly on that. You know, about 80% roughly will be body language and vocal tonality, which is both controlled by your subconscious mind. So essentially, what we perceive is that, you know, we have a certain feeling, and that feeling is what creates everything. What is the truth, or what is how we really feel, or whatever. But the truth is that your emotions are controlled by your body language, and your emotions are controlled by your belief system. Sorry about that. And your body language is controlled by your emotions. So you get a feeling, you act that way, But if you have a belief, that creates the feeling in the first place. So you actually can create new belief systems, which will then trickle down into creating positive, powerful, attractive body language. And that really is the way to improve your body language over time and not just like put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, as they say, and try to cover it up, which is what a lot of people will teach you how to do. So anyway, what else did we talk about, Brad? And what also, do you have anything to say about that as well? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's... okay.
Yeah, okay.
I have a little bit of a calamity. I've got some dog friends chilling out with me here.
All right.
But you know, you mentioned that it took you about 3 years to like really hone in and calibrate this like belief system creation process. But I know that everybody I've told this to has been able to say at least one thing immediately right after I told them that just kind of, you can see this look in their face. That's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, it just like, as soon as you say, take this thing that you've been holding on to as a fear or as something that you thought that you were bad at in the past or that you didn't have. And all of a sudden you say that you have it or you are fucking awesome at it. You know, mm-hmm. as soon as that happens, you see this, like, this look in their face that's a mixture of a little bit of fear, a little bit of curiosity, and hope and excitement, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've experienced that, you know, coaching countless times, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think that the fear part of it is that the realization that you actually do have control over this, meaning that you've been responsible for the reactions you've been getting the whole time.
Exactly.
You know, and that is scary because we look at that world around us thinking, oh, well, women, it's them, you know, they don't, if they don't like you, then it's them. It's not you. You know, it's that they look at you and they're not attracted. But the truth is that you can make them attracted. And that's not hard. It's not very hard to do at all. It's just a matter of understanding a few, what are relatively simple truths, about attraction, about women, about psychology, and about belief systems that allow you to sort of control how you are perceived by other people. Now, of course, that does stop at a certain point. I mean, if you have, it's hard to control other people's realities if it's something that's blaring at them. Like, for example, if you think that you're overweight because you're extremely overweight, you know, believing that you're not overweight is not going to change other people's perception of you, which is why we have a belief creation process. The belief creation process has to have your feedback from other people. So as you start to build up these beliefs, you'll go through this process of like, well, okay, well, I'm thinking something, and then I go out in the world, and then I'm not getting the same reaction when I get out there. Well, that could be one of two things. It could be that you don't actually believe it. You're just pretending like you believe it, or not even pretending, not even giving it that much chance. Or your new belief system is so far off from what other people perceive to be reality that you're not getting the proper feedback from people. So, for example, if I were to say to myself, all blonde women think I'm hot, right? That might be something that I think is a good idea to think. But if I find one concept or one piece of evidence to the contrary, like I find one blonde girl that doesn't think I'm hot, even if like, you know, she really doesn't think I'm hot, like for real, you know, maybe it's my sister or something, you know, someone I can totally rationalize easily. Then that sort of makes that entire belief system fall to pieces. And you don't want a belief system that's so fickle that when you find one piece of evidence to the contrary, it falls apart. So what you want to do is you want to create a belief system that is general enough, but general enough to be approved by other people, but specific enough to help you take it to the next step.
To really mean something to you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, to help you in some kind of way, right? So I would say instead of all blonde women think I'm hot, I would say for some reason blonde women just seem to think I'm hot. I don't know why that is. Right? Okay, that could be true. That could be a truth for me. Why? Because that's my perception. That's okay. I'm not trying to say that it's a fact across the board. No one would argue that for some reason it seems like blonde women think I'm hot. No one would argue that. They couldn't argue that. And so whenever I get out in the real world and I start getting feedback from that, what ends up happening is my subconscious mind reads the feedback, not my belief. I mean, I'm going to say all day, oh, well, you know, blonde women think I'm hot. Blonde women think I'm hot. Yes, yes, they do. They do. As soon as I see one piece of feedback to the contrary, that your entire belief system, your subconscious mind goes, yeah, right. You know, you are lying to me. That's what it says. because you are perceiving someone else giving you contrary evidence. So what you want to do is you want that evidence that you give from other people, that feedback, to be in line with what your belief is. And if you don't have your feedback in line with that belief, then you have to shift your belief slightly so that you still get the same results, but that you start to get the feedback back that you're looking for. And that's whenever your body language and your emotions start to change, and your power over a situation will start to grow. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and one thing if you think about it in terms of like, so even if you sort of overextend your belief that you're testing or something, if it's a positive thing, like as soon as your subconscious goes into that like that feedback seeking mode, mm-hmm. you're gonna be looking for a confirmation of that positive thing. So like it's kind of like, I guess I'm trying to think. It's kind of like the Michael Jordan quote, you know, like you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. So if you don't even try to believe that, for example, that blondes think you're attractive, then you'll never even get to the point where you're looking for feedback, you know, like
right.
You'll never get to that point. So that's why we have to constantly be challenging ourselves to come up with new and you know, forward seeking and positive beliefs for ourselves.
Right. And I think that and by the way, I think that I've heard that Michael Jordan said that, and that Wayne Gretzky said that. I have no idea where it originated, but some amazing athlete said that.
Right.
Another thing that you're sort of hitting on here, which I think is really important, is that if you know, if you're going out and you are talking to someone and you are getting that feedback from them, or you're searching for that feedback, then you know the point is that it's almost better to be delusional about it. I mean, it's almost better to say something that's so outrageous and not true at all that it seems like you're delusional, because it's not that people will look at you and go, yeah, that guy's right, that's absolutely true. It's that you're going to be searching for that, and so you're going to find it wherever it already exists. So if you think to yourself, all women think I'm hot, and then you walk outside, and you know, not all women will think you're hot. It's kind of how it is. You know, some women are just not going to be attracted. They're not attracted to me either. It's how it is. You know, they're weird, is what I call them. Weirdos. They're called blind women. No, but if you do have this massive like overcompensating belief, that's just like, imagine the thing you could think that's absolutely just almost beyond cocky, like arrogant. You know. You're still going to do better than if you didn't have
exactly.
That, you know, if you didn't think that women thought you were attractive, you're still going to do better. Why? Well, because you're going to be finding the women who are currently actually attracted to you. So one of the biggest things I found, the biggest questions, and you guys, I'm sure you understand this because I'm sure this is a question that you've asked before, ask yourself or ask someone else. And that is, how can you tell when a woman's attracted to you? Like that seems like a very difficult thing to do. I mean, it's the million-dollar question. How can I tell when she's really attracted to me? Well, I can tell you right now, the reason why you're asking that question is because you don't expect her to be attracted to you. You don't expect it to happen. And I've been taught over the years that you get what you expect, not what you deserve. You might want to write that down. You get what you expect, not what you deserve. If you've been waiting, you know, to be a nice guy, and eventually, since you deserve a good woman, she's going to show up, that will never happen. You'll be alone forever. Because you get what you expect to happen, not what you deserve to happen. So you want to make sure that you expect the best, always. You want to expect women to be attracted to you all the time. You expect that 10, you know, that really beautiful woman, the one who's, you know, all the super hot dudes who are like model status, those guys, or the cocky dudes, or the popular, or the rock stars, or whoever, all the guys that, you know, that get girls like that, you want to expect girls like that to like you. You know, if you do, a certain percentage of those women are definitely going to like you, and they're going to be very attracted to you, and you're going to find that out as you start to believe this. So I'm not saying that it's a good thing to be delusional all the time, but if you have a choice between being delusional in a way that's not good for you and being delusional in a way that helps you, I choose the one that helps you. Because if you think that no women like you, that's another delusion. It's not reality, you know? And if it's what you've been experiencing, that women don't like you, and that's just how you feel, then you're going to be creating that over and over again. And then anytime some woman is attracted to you, you're just not going to see it. Like Brad said, you're going to look right past it, and you're going to be looking for a way, or the one time that she loses interest, and it's going to solidify everything that you believe. So, and that's what we do with beliefs, though. When we create a belief, we automatically search for something that can solidify that belief, that can back up that belief. So, and since we know that's the truth, we've been operating like this for, you know, thousands of years as a species here, that we create beliefs and then we search for that validation of that belief. If you know that's true and it's 100% true, then you have to choose a new belief system that's going to help you, because you know that if you're thinking something or you believe something, that you're automatically going to be searching for evidence to prove that. So you would rather be searching for evidence to prove that women are attracted to you than searching for evidence to find out that women aren't attracted to you. And that will help you exponentially. This was like the basis for, even in a bad way, it was the basis for my, for beginning all this process for me and trying to get, learning how to build my confidence, because I realized that, you know, it's not actually true that not any women are attracted to me. What I really meant was that it seems like only women I'm not attracted to are attracted to me, you know, and the women that I really wanted didn't like me. So I had a small pool of people at the time, I thought, you know. So I was like, well, I think that I have a small pool of people. That's what my reality is right now. So I'm just going to believe that every woman likes me and women find me hot. And that's what I did. You know, and that's what I wrote about in the Tao of Badass. And whenever I did, you know, start to develop that concept of belief creation, I had to go back and deconstruct what I did there, because it was the only time I've ever heard of creating a belief system that actually worked on the fly. And that was my big sort of realization, you know. Brad, have you gone through your beliefs one at a time? I know you've been sort of handling them one at a time, but what's the most recent belief you went through that you've had to sort of reframe, just so we can hear? And I'll go over one that I went through recently too. I have very different focuses than I think a lot of people do, because I've been studying this for such a long time and I've gotten the success that I've really wanted from it. So a lot of mine aren't around, attracting women anymore. Because I've got a pretty good set of beliefs there. But Brad, what was your last belief that you sort of challenged that you had to go up against?
Well, I definitely took a page out of your book, quite literally. And I've taken on the very deep belief that I'm the kind of guy who approaches anybody I'm curious about. I think that's really important, because that's the stepping stone to approaching any girl as well, is just being able to walk up to anybody on the street or in the store or whatever and just say, hey, I like your shirt, or like I was telling you about the Volkswagen. There's this awesome vintage Volkswagen van outside my place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw the guy that owned it and I was like, man, that is an awesome car. I love it. And he was like, oh, thank you. You know, I've sort of revisited it, because, one of the things I've struggled with in the past was this sort of idea that, I got growing up, which was that it's not polite to bother people.
Right.
Everybody, you know, just kind of do your own thing and leave everybody else alone and you'll be fine. But I'm realizing, or have realized a long time ago, that, you know, that's a surefire way to mediocrity, you know?
Right. Yeah. I agree. I mean, taking something like as simple as walking up and saying, hey man, that's a nice car. If we don't realize how much power that actually gives us to do that. When we do that, we're thinking, oh, we're complimenting somebody. I don't have time to compliment somebody. I need to work on myself. You know,
right.
That's a big focus that we have. And a lot of guys talk themselves out of complimenting people for that exact reason. Now, the like you're saying, I would say that the biggest sort of point here to take away from that concept is that if you are constantly approaching people that you're curious about, then you create a new belief system that you approach anybody that you're curious about. And if you do that, when you walk up to a woman, your first thought is not going to be, I'm approaching this woman because I think she's hot. I hope she likes me. It's not
right.
going to be that.
And I know from personal experience, and I'm sure the guys listening have been through this as well. When you first start learning about, sort of like pickup and whatever, one of the things that they sort of recommend is just going up to every hot girl you see. And it's sort of missing, it's missing a little bit, like that's better than nothing, but what you're saying is I has helped me, 10 times more in just in approaching beautiful women, because you're not walking up to them and looking at them as an object or like an outcome or a desire. It's just like, it's just a person,
Well, I mean, the thing is that, of course, you're going to be attracted to them. Of course, you're going to be, thinking that they're hot. And of course, you're going to be like, wow, this girl's really beautiful. But that's all a side note. It's about what you lead with that's most important. If you walk up there thinking, oh, I need to talk to her because blank, right? There could be, I need to talk to her because I need to get better with women. All right, well, that's good. That's actually a pretty good thing to think, I think, personally. That's pretty good. But it's not as good as, I need to talk to her because I talk to everybody that I think is interesting. And if she's hot and that interests you, well, damn, dude, go talk to her. Just split and go hang out with her and chat with her. So that's what you absolutely are going to want to do. So as you, as you build up these belief systems, you're going to have to create a list of, five belief systems that you really want to have, that you really, really want. And that, are, just, as long as they're not like, okay, well, they're compensations for insecurities. If I were to write down, I'm not losing my hair, that would make my hair stay in, it would just make me not care as much about it, So at the end of the day, the thing that you can't control is your belief system associated with it, and that is what controls your emotions. And if you control your beliefs, you can control your emotions. If you control your emotions, then you can control your body language, and you can make any woman want to be, want to be with you and make any woman attracted to you. And that's really what this sort of secret is all about. Now, it's not as pretty sounding, or as like fancy sounding as being like, well, all you have to do is approach 1,000 women and then you're good, because that sounds,
Or,
that actually sounds kind of difficult to a lot of people, but you could at least do that,
and it's also not as easy sounding as all you have to do is say something positive and it's going to happen, like, or basically wish for something or some, the secret.
I mean, I'm not gonna knock the power of thinking positively here. But I am going to knock the sort of, holding back that just thinking positively does. I'm going to knock that sort of subculture that we've been taught now that, okay, well, if we just think positively, everything's going to work. I mean, the secret was a great step forward for people because it took the average person and it reached them. It said, okay, well, I'm the average person living in, some small town, and I don't know, I've sort of felt trapped my whole life. Well, if I can just think positively, sometimes things will happen. Well, that's good. That's good. That's closer. It's a lot closer than just being like, well, I'm helpless, So essentially, I wanted to just touch a little bit on the conscious mind, programming your unconscious mind, again, your subconscious mind. And, we talked about this for the past, like I said, the past couple of calls, and we went over some other things too, and I wanted, Brad, do you want to sort of go down the list here and just name off a couple other things too, and we can dive into those as well. And guys, as well, if you do have any questions, and I'm sure you do, anything that you've experienced over the past, week since our last call, if it's been a week or two, anything that you have seen that has really altered the way that you view things, or any challenges you've run into, or any. Not just challenges, but or any sort of insights that you've had that you can share with me and Brad and everyone else on this call. It'd be very, very helpful to hear those insights and to hear those successes and those challenges that you've been having, so we can help you get over them. So if you do have those questions, press *2 on your phone. So that's *2. And by the way, soon we are going to have we're going to have it so that people can start listening to this on their computer, by the way. So that'll be a little bit easier for guys, I think, and if they don't have very good cell phone reception, they'll be able to log on to the computer and listen to it as well. So next time we should have that ready. But yeah, press *2 if you have any questions or any comments. I already see a couple people raising their hands now. And we're going to go into the next section, then we want to call on some people so we can really get some feedback and start to interact. So this is the third call of the month. So this is the call where we unlock the lines the most, and we talk the most to people, and we're not just lecturing at you. So it's really, we need your interaction a lot here, and I really want to see, what you have to say and what you've experienced recently and things like that, so we can help you get through stuff. I also want to, before I let you sort of continue here, I would like to give a guy an opportunity to get on what's called a hot seat. A hot seat is where you take one person from a call, and not that you tear them to pieces, but you listen to what they have to say, and then the team just goes, all right, I'm going to tell you what's wrong here. I'm going to go into serious detail, and I'm going to break apart some things that have been holding you back. And so, if you are interested in sort of being part of that hot seat, usually you only have time for one per call, but I have a feeling we could probably do more than one this call if we get to it soon and we get on it. So if you do want to be in the hot seat, press *2, and when I call on you, you can let me know you want to be in the hot seat, and we'll start asking you some questions and sort of getting at it there and breaking down some things that might be holding you back. This is a very safe environment. No one's listening unless they're a founding member. It's not an open call. This is a very private call, and it's just got, the coaches on it and other guys who are going through the exact same thing that you are experiencing. So feel free to say whatever you want. It's in total confidence. I'm the only person who knows who you are, and no one else does, so no worries there.
It's like going to confession.
It's like going to confession if you've ever been religious. Except I'm not sure, but you might be able to be arrested at confession. I'm not really sure about that. But I'm not a cop, as far as you know. So, Brett, it's like confession, but without all the guilt.
Right.
So, Brad, what else did we talk about last time that you might be able to bring up and sort of dive into here for a moment?
I definitely think it's good to keep, in our minds the best exercise to put this into action today and continue going forward, which is to be very conscious of the words, of what you're saying, and if you ever recognize yourself saying that you're not good at something, or some sort of negative belief you might have had about yourself in the past, and so instead of saying that, I'm bad at approaching women in the daytime, then you'd start this whole process by saying, in the past, I thought I had a problem approaching women in the daytime.
And you can even say, like, I'll even let you say, in the past, I found it hard, or in the past, it was hard, or I couldn't. It's okay. It's okay if you say the definitive thing, as long as you put it in the past. What you never want to do is and of course, I never say never. But I'm saying it right now. What you never want to do here is you never want to put your challenges, the things that you think you suck at, you never want to say that in the present tense. That will screw you up more than anything, period. I'm not saying that, saying, oh, I used to be bad with women, you're going to walk up tonight and go, I used to be bad with women, and then you're going to walk up to a woman and she's going to go, oh my God, can I suck your dick? She's not going to say that. And that's not going to happen. But what will happen is you will allow yourself, and this is crazy. I know it's not really something that is, might not be within your reality right now. Maybe something that you don't even realize you're doing. But the moment you start putting that stuff in the past, you allow yourself to get better. We don't realize how much we actually hold ourselves back from growing, from getting better with women, from attracting women instantly and very easily. I'd love to go into some stories about this in a bit, Brad. I'm not sure if any guys want to hear any of my war stories, but I can totally tell some, and I've had some pretty funny ones where I've, walked with a woman and been rejected, or walked up and done some things that I was like, holy crap, I had no idea I was going to be able to do that, I really didn't think that was possible. So essentially, yeah, what I'm saying here is that you want to put your challenges in the past tense. Always put them in the past tense. And that means...
If you have friends too, by the way, this is a great thing to involve friends who might not even be into self-improvement as much, but just can back you up and can catch you if you happen to say something in the present tense. They can be like, in the past,
Right, exactly. And that'll help you out, because then they're with you on that fight, and that's really helpful, extremely helpful. Now your dog agrees. But anyway, so ultimately, putting your challenges in the past is going to allow you to have control over them, have some sort of a leg up over them. And if you keep putting them present tense and saying, oh, I'm bad at blah, blah, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, then it's going to perpetuate that problem. And it will do it. Trust me. Trust me, it will do it. And you can try it out. You can try saying one thing one day and then saying another thing another day and watch the difference. Just look at the scoreboard at the end of the day, you know? Just look at, okay, well, you know, this day I said that, you know, I was really bad at it in the present tense, and this day I put it in the past tense, and what was the difference? What, you know, how many girls did you, smiled at you that day? Just count girls smiling at you and watch the difference in how many girls smile at you based on just changing your belief system. I know it sounds kind of crazy. It may sound crazy. To me, it was like, I'm a very, very, very logical guy. And I'm not like the kind of guy who's like, oh, well, you know, just the universe will open up and you'll be treated. I just don't believe that crap, really. I mean, I believe that, you know, the universe is something that we live in, you know, and it's something that I think is really cool to study. But I don't think that it has a, you know, necessarily has a consciousness that's going to bring us stuff and reward us for stuff. But I do believe that our subconscious minds let go of things that we try to hold in. And if we start to let them go consciously, they will be let go subconsciously. Brad, did you just wrestle a dog into submission there?
Well, I won't go into details, but
okay. All right. Well, anyway, I wanted to sort of open the floor for you and let you comment there.
I just think this, like you said, this is sort of the doorway to, you know, improving for the rest of your life. I mean, the thing that's really remarkable about this little sort of exercise or trick or whatever, is that I guarantee 99% of people don't do it. And they just create these like infinite loops of doubt and, you know, these negative belief systems that may never get worse, but they never get better, you know, like
right.
They'll just perpetually think that talking to girls unless they're drunk or something like that. I think that's a very common one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had that, had that belief, and that's why whenever I first started studying, I recognized that I was better with women whenever I was drinking. So I stopped drinking for 2 months and I kept going out because I did not want that to be a crutch. I was so avoidant of crutches. I mean, even whenever I found out about I'm not sure if anyone on this call has seen this yet, but I'll release it at some point coming up pretty soon. It's called the Black Book Technique. Now, Brad, you saw it, I know, because I taught you this.
Yes.
But I used to use this technique where I would use a little black book and I keep it in my back pocket and I would write girls' names down. And after doing a couple little things, you know, and tweaking a little bit, I got to where I could write their name down, hand them the book, and without asking for their phone number, they would give me their phone numbers. And it was just phenomenal. Like, it was a loophole. You know, it was like some kind of weird magic trick that I was able to do. And I did it probably, you know, I don't know, I filled up 4 books. So I did it a lot before I was like, you know what, I keep doing this. And if I don't stop right now, I'm going to always do this. I won't be able to do anything else. I'm just going to be focusing on using this trick forever. And I'm never going to get beyond this trick. So I really wanted to sort of get beyond that and let that go and sort of take it to the next level. So I stopped using it. You know, I stopped using it because I didn't want to use that as a crutch. So any crutch that you have is going to hold you back. Now, it will give you positive results in the meantime, which is great. So just make a note. Hey, man, no matter what happens, you can always go back to using the black book technique. You can always go back to talking to women whenever you're drunk. You'll never get worse than that, you know? So when you know something works, just categorize it, you know, I'd say catalog it even, and put it on the shelf for a little bit and just go, all right, remember that thing. That thing works for you. You can do it really well and you can do it intrinsically and easily. Just remember that if you're having a bad night and you want to have a good night, pull that thing off the shelf and it'll happen, you know, and then just leave it there until you need it and then move on to the next thing and study the next thing that you're not good at. You know, always search for that. You know, so that 4 line, so to speak, and that's something that I go over in Hacking Attraction. Do you know if I went over the 4 line in the Tao of Badass? I can't even remember if I went over it or not. I went over so much stuff in there.
No.
I did not. It's kind of an advanced concept. Essentially, it's that we study. Oh, sorry, we go through these four different stages whenever we are improving ourselves. And the four line is the stage, the fourth stage, which is called unconscious or subconscious, however you want to say it, competence, meaning you don't even know that you're good at something. You're just that good at it. It just happens subconsciously, or unconsciously, so to speak, depending on who you studied in psychology here. I had a friend of mine who's a psychologist, and she was like, "Why do you keep saying subconscious?" And I was like, "Cause that's the word. That's what you use. It's below your conscious mind." She goes, "No, Freud uses unconscious." I was like, "I don't care about Freud. I care about all the other psychologists that use subconscious." But anyway, so I use subconscious in this. But yeah, so there are four different stages, and they are subconscious incompetence, meaning you don't know you suck at it; conscious incompetence, meaning you realize you suck all of a sudden; conscious competence, where you realize you're getting better; and then subconscious competence, where you don't even think about it anymore, you're just awesome at it. And what we do is it used to be thought that we go through these different stages, and when we get to the last one, we're done. But that's not the truth. When we get to the last one, you correct and go back the other direction again. So what ends up happening is, because it's a subconscious process, you're only aware of two stages here: conscious incompetence and conscious competence. And that means that for you think, here's what you think: "I'm good at this. Oh, I no, I'm not. I suck at it. Oh, I'm getting better at it. Oh, no, actually, I suck at it." That's what it feels like, because you don't realize you're cycling through these over and over and over again, and going to the next level every time you cycle through them. So the last thing you see is conscious competence, because you're conscious of it. It's in your conscious mind. And then you go through two subconscious stages: subconscious competence and subconscious incompetence. You go through those two stages, and the next stage you're aware of is conscious incompetence, where you realize you suck at something. And so what it feels like is we're taking, two steps forward, three steps back, sort of over and over and over again in our lives. But if you look and you actually map out what your challenges are, your challenges change over time. Your challenges grow over time. Yesterday you may have had a challenge doing one thing, but today your challenges are new because you mastered the challenges of yesterday. And that's what we don't see. We're inside this head of ours, and we're looking out of these windows that are our eyes, and we don't see that we are going through these stages, that we're actually getting better. And then when we go to the next level, then we're comparing ourselves to people at the next level. And so we think we suck. It's kind of like going to a new grade. You may be the king of eighth grade, but when you get to ninth grade and you're in high school, you're nobody. That's how it is. You might be cool, a little bit, but when other schools merge together in that high school class, and you're part, and if you have a bigger city you live in especially, and you're part of a bigger group of people, and you're at the bottom of the food chain, oh, it feels shitty. It feels like you're a nobody. And that's what happens. What's happening is you're taking it to another level, and you cannot grow to become like sort of your full fulfilled man if you don't take it to the next level every time. So you want to make sure that you're constantly doing that. If you're not looking for that, what do I suck at next? What do I suck at now? If you're not constantly looking for that, then you're not going to grow as fast as you can. That's what's called the four line. The way to stay on the four line, which is the subconscious competence stage, is that as soon as you recognize you suck at something, your subconscious mind automatically, even in your sleep, starts to work toward mastering that. And it'll get probably 50% of the way there without you even trying at all. Now, if you want to get to the final mastery level, you have to continue. But you don't really have to. You don't have to do that. If you were 50% better at everything that you realized you sucked at, you would be a renaissance man. You'd be the only man in the world that knew how to do everything, But what happens is we don't look for that second stage, what do I suck at next? What do I suck at? What do I suck at? And what happens is you're constantly looking for what you suck at, and you constantly think about how to improve it. And that's, and you're not, letting that hold you back at all. You just say, "Okay, well, I'm not very good at this. I should look at it and look into it a little bit and just read about it and understand it a little bit better." If you're constantly doing that, what you're doing is you're pulling your swings. It's kind of like you have a pendulum. You're pulling your pendulum down to the center, and you're holding it there. And that's what's called the four line. The four line's where you can keep your growth pattern at a subconscious competence level. So your subconscious mind is helping you learn and master skills. And whenever you are going through this process with me and, reading the Tao of Badass and understanding this and being part of the Founding Members Club, you're going to be trying as hard as possible to hold to this four line. You're going to be searching for the next thing you suck at constantly. And it's going to be, you know, if you were by yourself, it would suck, but you're not. You're with a group of guys who are with you here, you know? And so we're all on the same page. We're all on the same team. And we're all allowed to ask questions. We're all allowed to help each other. And that's really what this is about. So that's the four line. I wanted to sort of go over that. I go over that in a lot of detail in my Hacking Attraction course. I believe that the Hacking Attraction course, I think it's in the first day of Hacking Attraction. Brad, do you know if it is or not? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't either. It's 5 days, so it's a lot of information. But I think it was, if it wasn't the first day, then you already have access to it. If you go into your members area and you click on Hacking Attraction Day 1, you'll get it. By the way, tomorrow we should have a new members area, hopefully going live.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
it's really sweet. Yeah, you guys are going to love it.
Yeah, it's really everything we've been waiting for. So actually, I just got my login info for that members area right now. I wish I could screen share with everybody so you could see it. But anyway, so that's what's going to be happening. I wanted to let you know that. But we will be launching that soon. We'll be able to handle a lot of the – if you've seen any bugs at all, I'm sure you have because I've seen them. And they've been keeping me up at night thinking about how guys can't communicate properly on there. It just really stresses me out. So we got a lot of stuff handled. I think you'll be really proud of it and really happy with it. So when we get into that, you'll be able to ask all those questions that you need, and I'll be able to go in and actually respond back now. I've been having some really hard times responding recently because of bug issues. So we'll get that handled, and we'll get this thing back rolling again, back on smooth operating again. But ultimately, though, I wanted to sort of hit on that four line there and, you know, let you know that it's not about avoiding the things you suck at. It's about facing them directly like a man and really manning up. And, you know, for lack of a better phrase, stop being a little bitch, you know, about it. And, that, you know, I wrote that down on my marker board. I had this giant marker board in my apartment in New York. And even when I was still studying, I was teaching this stuff for a living, I still wrote down stop being a little bitch at the top of the marker board because it was something that I wanted to handle. I wanted to face my fears, you know, face everything that I needed to. And so I had to go through that. I really had to. So I'm going to go ahead, if I can, and unmute. I can't see your full name here, but you're in Austin, Texas. Let me go and unmute you here and let that go. Let's see if I can do this. Uh-oh. Let's see. Right, are you there?
Yes, this is Franklin.
Hey, Franklin, what's going on?
Hey, man? Franklin, what's up?
Hey. Yes, I have a question. I find very useful this concept of working on beliefs. I really like that because that's so fundamental. I have gotten really good results, mm-hmm. especially in the area of fear.
Right.
And in the question that I have is more related to anger.
Yeah.
And what kind of belief do you put in place to control anger? And the reason why I'm asking this, and it may be relevant mm-hmm. to or community conversation, is like, you know, if women or somebody else is testing you or something happens that you are not, you know, quite prepared, and then that affects your emotions, and, mm-hmm. and anger is a big one.
Right, right.
What kind of beliefs? I know that, you know, I used to be the guy who used to get angry, that, you mm-hmm. know, that's the immediate one that I might put over there, but what else can you work yourself into believing so you don't lose control and therefore show low value?
Right, right. And actually, this is first off, Franklin, let me say that this is actually a really intelligent question, because you're asking the right question. You're asking, how do I not get angry because I know that shows low value? Because it does. You're right, you know? When you're reactive like that to a woman when she asks you questions or when she tests you, that's exactly whenever she's going to look at you, and everyone else is going to look at you being angry, and they're going to go low value. You know, they're going to go, that person's not attractive. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't even know this girl, and he already likes to affect him. So that's really a very, very good question. If you wouldn't mind, Franklin, would you mind if I ask you a question about yourself? Would you mind sharing?
Sure.
Okay. This is a really kind of deep question, And I'll make it a very light question. Brad, you might know where I'm going with this because I know you studied a bit of this. But would you say, Franklin, that you're a bit of a perfectionist?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So here's what's happening. Brad, just to kind of give you a note here, I already know Franklin's Enneagram type.
Okay.
He's a one. So essentially
Oh.
there's this personality typing system that I really hope to be able to teach you guys on the Founding Members Club calls because it's a super advanced, super, super advanced. I mean, so advanced that it took me up until about 2 years to be able to really understand it in the first place. And the reason why I know you're a perfectionist, Franklin, is because anger is a response of somebody who feels like they're not good enough. And the only person who feels like they're not good enough constantly is a perfectionist. And that's one of these types. There are nine different types on this personality typing a sort of system. And the first type is a type one, and that's a perfectionist. Now, the dark side of a perfectionist is uncontrollable rage. Like, they can get in the point where they're just so angry, they flip. Like, a switch just flips, right? And they're like, "Ugh!" you know? And so instead of control that, the first thing you're going to have to do, and there's two parts to this, Franklin. And this is where it gets kind of deep here, and this is why I wanted to ask you if it was okay. The first thing you're gonna have to do is accept your imperfections, right? So this is the biggest fear of a type one, is to say, I'm not perfect and that's okay. In fact, to say that nobody's perfect and that's beautiful, that's really what you need to absolutely focus on. Because what this will do is when someone freaks out at you or someone tests you, you'll have two things to back that up. They're not perfect and that's all right. You know? They're confused and that's okay. And the other one is, I'm not perfect and that's all right. You know, that's okay. So sort of the Wyatt Woodsmall is the guy who taught me this, and he was the longtime mentor of a guy named Tony Robbins, and he taught this guy Tony Robbins everything he knows about coaching people essentially. And he taught me as well. So this guy Wyatt Woodsmall taught Tony Robbins and he taught me. Tony Robbins is probably the most famous platform speaker and motivational speaker in the world. He's a huge motivational speaker. And he was in Shallow Hal, by the way, the movie, if that helps you place him. So ultimately, he taught me this system called the Enneagram typing system. And what you can do is you can recognize what someone's sort of bottleneck is, where they're getting wrapped up. And you can help them release that spot, and it ends up fixing 99% of their problems, right? So most of your problems, Franklin, are going to come within your over ambitious idea that you can be perfect. You know, that something can be perfect, that anything can be perfect, right? Now, that could be depressing. It could be like, oh, well, that sucks because, you know, if nothing's perfect, then nothing's beautiful. But what your goal here over the next, you know, until our next call, which will be next week, actually. Your goal, Franklin, is to find beauty in the imperfections in the world. Now, I know this isn't directly about women, so let me just bring this, tie us all back in so you can understand, and that, no, I know you understand already, but you know, so you can relate it to women here and you can see the results that'll happen immediately. So if you see the beauty in the imperfections of the world, what will happen is when somebody tests you, let's say you walk into a bar, and you walk up to a woman, and she's done up and looking gorgeous and everything, and you say, "Hey, you're gonna be my new best friend. Let's hang out. You can help me meet chicks, right?" And she says, "Leave me alone," right? So right then, if you believe that you are a imperfect guy, let's say, and you have your imperfections, then what she said is going to be a direct and personal insult to you. Does that make sense, Franklin? So you'll take that as as me? You know, I try harder than all of you put together to be perfect. You know, I'm more perfect than everybody here. My whole life is about being right and doing things right, you know, about doing the right thing, you know. And who is she to tell you otherwise, right? That's exactly the response that you're going to have. And that is going to make you what? It's going to make you angry, you know. It's going to make you very angry because you'll be, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. She's wrong, and it's just calling out something that you feel is not good. You know, also, the type ones fall into a couple of different categories too, and I don't know you at all, Franklin, but a lot of type ones can be addicted to things, meaning alcohol or anything, right? Drugs, anything. Working out, work, you know? And it's an addictive personality. Why? Because it's hard to live with yourself whenever you're holding yourself to an unreasonable standard all the time, trying to be perfect all the time, right? So if you want a belief system, first off, that's going to get rid of that anger, you have to go deeper than just, you know, saying, well, all women who insult me think I'm hot. You know, that's true. It's probably true. They probably are attracted to you in the first place. But it's going to have to be deeper for yourself. It may have to be something that seems indirect for you for a moment. It may be something that you, you know, you focus on just your own belief systems for a little bit. And they have nothing else to do with anybody else, just you. And one of those might be that, you know, here's what I used to do, Franklin. This might help you. Before I walked up to a girl, especially if she was super hot, you know, when I couldn't control my approach anxiety, when I would walk up and I was so scared to walk up that I would just freak, you know, I would start sweating and shaking. Back then, I didn't have any way to control that. So here's what I did. I imagined that I was the only adult in a room full of six-year-olds. And the whole bar was made up of six-year-olds. And I imagined this girl I was talking to being 6 years old while I was talking to her. Just until I knew she wasn't going to test me anymore. And then I would just look at her as being an adult again, because that's kind of creepy. So I would look at her as being a six-year-old. And when she said something that was insulting, immediately I thought, that's something a six-year-old would say. You know, that sounds like something a six-year-old would say to me. You know, if a six-year-old comes up to you, Franklin, and it's a little boy, and he walks up and he says, you're stupid. What do you do? What, do you punch him in the face? No. You're like, oh, you're just a six-year-old. What do you know, right? You know, it's what does a six-year-old know? He doesn't know anything. So it doesn't affect you, and yet you're also still not judging that person. You're going, oh, well, you're 6 years old. That's cute, right? That's cute. And if you think the same way when you go out to a bar until someone starts to build rapport with you, you will be so wildly successful. You'll be beating women off of you with a stick. And that's just how it is, you know? You'll be fighting women off, and the reason why is because you won't care about the outcome anymore. Right now, you have this belief in your head that if a girl likes you, that proves to yourself that you are worthy, that you're good, that you're doing something right. But the truth is, that's not the case. The truth is that if a woman likes you, it just means that you're doing something right then. It doesn't mean that you're awesome at everything. So what you want to do instead is look to improve yourself, not look to validate yourself. Does that make sense, Franklin?
Yes.
Okay. And I know it's kind of like a really deep-rooted concept and really it can, you know, we went kind of deep down in there. But in order to control this process, which it'll have a grip over you forever if you don't control it, and it'll affect you in lots of different ways, and it'll start, you know, it'll feel like at some point, at your worst moment, it'll feel like you're always being judged, always, by everybody. And that's sort of the world of a type one, right? If you let it get out of control and you let it own you, then it will always feel like you are being judged by everyone. And so to avoid that, let's take one belief that will help you get this process, help you get this direction. One would be, everybody is a six-year-old until I build rapport. Everybody's a six-year-old. Guys and girls alike, no matter who they are, how big they are, how loud they are, doesn't matter. Everybody's a six-year-old until you decide they're not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. I also used to do something else, Franklin. You know, what's that?
No, very, very useful. I find quite scary all the things that you can tell by very little, mm-hmm. and because that has been my life, and it's just really cool that you already have these suggestions, because you will think, he's a good psychologist, but then you will think, oh no, he's actually reading my mind.
Well, I would like to teach you how to do this. You know, I would love to teach you guys how to do what I do. If you can imagine, Franklin, if you had the power that I have to read people's minds like this, how amazing it would be to use this with women. You know, to walk up to a woman and go, hey, I have a question for you. Does anyone else know that you're a tomboy? You know? And she's like, Oh my God. Or, or knowing immediately that a woman you walk up to has, has hates her job without ever talking to her, or loves her job, or that she's a trapeze artist, or, whatever you want to know. No, being able to tell things about them that they don't even know about themselves. Hey, your biggest fear is to be sort of left alone in a world, an unforgiving world that will never take care of you. Brad's laughing because Brad knows what type that is, and he's got a lot of friends that's actually what they believe. It's
Was also imagining that as an opening line at
Oh
a bar.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can tell, by the way, that you're afraid. Your biggest fear is being left alone in an unforgiving world. No, but ultimately, the biggest fear of a type one is to be defective, and knowing that, first off, Franklin, you will never hear me ever say in a million years that you are defective, because A, that's not true, and B, it's unforgivable to insult somebody with their biggest insulting sort of biggest loophole, which is what that is. I have one. Brad has one too. Everybody has one. We've all got these little things that sort of own us, and we don't know that they do. So anyway, yeah, there's a pattern that I can recognize, and I can teach you guys how to recognize it too. I would love to teach you. I actually go into a lot of the patterns in Hacking Attraction, which is my video course. And over the next couple of days, Franklin, you should be able to grab a copy of that, watch it. It's a really long course. It's 5 days long, and it's real time. We don't edit out very much, it's a live course of me teaching. At the end of the course, my voice is like almost entirely gone because I was talking so much for 5 days straight, like 8 hours a day for 5 days straight. But I go into some of this typing stuff during that video course. So if you do want to get a copy of it, you can shoot me an email or something if you don't have it already. But if you do have it, watch it, because I do go into some of that stuff. And in the next live event, I'm going to be going over some things kind of similar to that, and I'm happy to teach it to everybody. So thanks for sharing, Franklin. I really appreciate it, man. All right. I need another person to raise their hand here. Star 2 will raise your hand, and I'd love to help you out in the same way I just helped Franklin. If I can personality type you in a certain way, anything that helps reveal things about yourself, that's good. But also, if you have any questions or anything you want to reveal, just press star 2 right now on your phone, and it will raise your hand, and I'll be able to talk to you. Anything that at all that you want to share with us, or you want to get off your chest, or you have any questions about over the past couple of weeks since you've been sort of practicing these new belief system creation processes, you will be able to press star 2, and I'll be able to ask you that question. You'll be able to ask that question now live. Again, use this time because I have, I charge several hundred dollars an hour for phone coaching, and you guys are getting in as founding members. This is part of your package 3 times a month, so you're getting a hell of a deal, and you'd be very wise to ask me any questions that you may have. And if it's not about the subject matter, if it's about something else entirely, as long as it's about women, screw it, if it's about anything. I'd prefer it was about women, but if you have a question about your family or friends or something like that, I can help you with that too, in some kind of way. But press star 2 on your phone, and it'll raise your hand. I'll be able to see that here, that you've sort of virtually raised your hand, and I'll be able to call on you. Until we get into that, though, Brad, do you want to go ahead and go down a few more things that we went over this past month and sort of reiterate and help guys get back into the way that we're thinking and sort of touch on some stuff that we went over last week?
You were getting into pretty good detail about the concept of last time we talked, we called it leaning into pain, and that's just sort of embracing uncomfortable situations because that's where all growth comes from.
Right.
And you talked about that pretty well tonight.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that there's this guy, you may have heard of him before if you're on this call. His name is David D'Angelo, and he's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine and an acquaintance, really. I don't see him hardly ever. He lives in and not in LA, but essentially he had this concept that I really loved, and he said we are always afraid to look in the dark corners of our lives, the dark, deep, scary corners of our lives. And the funny thing is that in the dark corners is where we hide all the gold, all the stuff that we really, really want, that's really going to help us. we hide in those dark corners. So if you can reach into those dark corners, if you can look at those dark corners, you can then reveal the things that are hiding in there, the things that are actually going to help, your true superpowers, your weaknesses, everything that you've been sort of afraid of and you've been hiding forever, you will come across and you'll be able to use then and actually correct. So you want to always, and sort of the dark corners, so to speak, is what hurts you. It's a scary thing. It's the uncomfortable place in your life. And so you want to lean into that uncomfortable place, that pain, and you know, experience that fully, because whenever you're in your uncomfortable state, you automatically grow. You automatically improve yourself. That's why, you know, I know that looking for things that you suck at makes you uncomfortable. But if you look for things that you suck at, then you automatically will work on improving them because you'll be uncomfortable. And as soon as you're uncomfortable, your subconscious mind and every other part of your body, it's like sociobiological here, this is something that's really deep-rooted in our neurology, your subconscious mind begins to correct the problem immediately because it can't deal with the discomfort. It can't handle it. So it fixes it. So if you recognize the discomfort of and lean into the discomfort of being around women all the time and not knowing how to talk to them, then your subconscious mind will start to correct that for you. And it'll feel as if you've always had this power once you get it. I know it's weird, but you look back and you'll go, man, I can't believe that I ever thought that this was hard before. You know, because as you improve, your subconscious mind goes, got it, you know, and it's just going to happen always. It changes the way you move, the way you act, the way you look at people. You know, when you look at a woman and she makes eye contact with you and she smiles, you might wink instead of looking down, looking away. You know, it'll seem as if this is just second nature. And it's always been this way. But remember that it hasn't always been this way. Remember where you came from, because that's a very powerful place to come from. It built you into who you are. And remember that you are improving. Because at times, it's not going to be as obvious that you are improving. It's going to be hard to see. And you're going to have to pull back on this data. You're going to have to look it up and go, you know what? I remember I used to have this problem, but now I have a totally new and more advanced problem than that. And this is, and I am growing. And it is getting better. So just remember that. Word.
Definitely. And, you know, I think when you're ready for it, finding out your Enneagram type is a powerful way to do that, because it takes your biggest fear, you know, the deepest, darkest corner. And as soon as you can look that in the eyes and say, wow, that's what I've been running from my whole life. And it does exactly what you said, you know. First of all, you get to look your darkest fear in the eye and call it by name. You know, that's sort of it's always been a powerful spiritual concept, is sort of, you know, taking away the power that like demons have or something by calling them by name, and they suddenly have no power. And that's, I just, you know, see that as a metaphor for your fears.
Right.
Because as soon as you can recognize it and be like, oh, that's why I'm doing X, Y, and Z, because I'm afraid that I'm going to be seen as weak or corrupt or worthless or whatever your overarching fear is. And then the flip side of that, which you also said, is that it also reveals powers that you've had your whole life that you didn't even realize, and you may not have been really capitalizing on, but they were there despite your best efforts to cover them up. For example, my type is sort of just a natural leader. And I never thought of myself as a leader growing up. But then when I looked at it and I said, wow, you know, I am a natural leader, and I sort of challenged that belief, I looked back, and in every group I've ever been in, there was always this sort of like understanding that I was the leader. You know, I would inspire people to move across the country with me. You know, that's happened. I didn't consciously do it, I didn't think that I had any control over it, but
right,
you know, now I look back and it was always there.
You know, the interesting thing is that first off you were naming off a few things a minute ago, and you're like, oh, weak or whatever, blah blah. And then you said mine, and I just I just stopped listening to what you're saying and zoned out and thought about it, 'cause I was like, oh, it's such a powerful thing. I mean, I'm actually hesitant to even say what my type is. I'll probably do it in person instead of saying it on this call, because once you know someone's type, you can literally make them cry by sending them an email or calling them something, you know, because it's, and it happens a lot, because your deepest, darkest fear and what you don't want to be considered to anyone else is right there on the open, and everyone can see it, you know.
Even if you do it to sort of help them, I had one experience where I told a friend, you know, sort of just matter of factly, well, I think you're this type, and you know, just for example, you know, I said her darkest fear, and she started crying, and I was like, but I wasn't trying to insult you. I was just, you know.
Yeah, it's hard,
I,
man. It is very, very, very difficult. And that's the one leverage point, you know, that everybody has one of these. This is what's amazing. And there's only nine of them. So you can tell when you, and it's really hard to find this thing about somebody. It's very rare. Franklin, whenever you were on, it's very rare to have you know, that ability to be able to just talk to somebody and be like, oh, yeah, I got it. You know, I got your type. Usually I'm not as accurate as that, but takes me a little while to figure it out. But you know, if you got this honed in and you could figure it out, holy shit. I mean, it's just a superpower and a half. So again, like I said, we will be teaching this in the future to guys, and learn it at your own risk, because as soon as we go into it, man, there's no turning back. You can't
Yeah,
unknow what you know.
exactly.
I just had a hand go up, and then I just was just about to click on it, and then it went down. I'm not sure why. If it was someone in Houston, Texas. If you do want to put your hand back up again, feel free to do it, and I'll call on you now. But if not, I won't unmute you for a little bit. But let me know if you do have a question, guys. Press star two. We're about to get toward the end of this, and I would love to talk to you a little bit more and answer some more of your questions. Larry, I saw you kind of going in and off, on and off this call like 4 times. I'm not sure if you got kicked off or not, but I wanted to let you know, Larry, in case you were getting kicked off, that we are going to try to do this on the web next time too, so you can listen in on the internet as well. So feel free to do that. So all right, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you here. I'm not sure who this is in Houston, Texas, but I'll go ahead and unmute it now. Let's see here. All right, go ahead and talk. Who is this?
This is John in Houston.
Hey, John, how you doing, brother?
What's up, John?
Doing good.
All right, man.
Actually, you know, I've got well, a comment and a question.
Okay.
So the comment is, you know, since I've been on your system, it's been fabulous. You know, I guess. Oh, with one of the approaching lines of, you know, when I'm meeting with women and I go through the ordeal to where they come to, and like you've said in your book and you've said in your commentary a few times, where the girl asks, you know, they'll come at you and start laughing, and they'll say that, you know, you really think you're hot, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, my first initial reaction to him is, you know, without hesitation, is you know, girl, I am so hot that if I were her, I would be twins. Well,
Hell
you know,
yeah.
that's really worked fabulous for me, and I've had great success with, you know, with everything that you've put out so far.
Awesome, man. I'd like to add that to the banter cheat sheet if I can. Maybe I'll be able to add that in.
Absolutely.
Cool, man.
But I guess my question is I have got a girl that I still care about very much, that's down.
That's where?
It's like, excuse me?
You cut out. I didn't hear what you said. She's what? You said you care about her very much, and what?
Oh, she lives about 250 miles away.
Oh, okay.
And we dated for quite some time. And it kind of broke off. It did break off, but we still talk every single day. But it almost feels like with this long distance relationship that I have, I don't know, I kind of feel like I've fell into the friend zone.
Right.
But then again, I kind of feel like she's wanting to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But then I'm kind of hesitant to try to push it somewhere else.
Right. Okay.
So can you give me some advice on the way that I should approach that? Because, you know, I do want to pursue it.
Right. Okay. So here's a question for you before I answer that. Are you a patient man, John?
I am very patient.
Okay, good. Because this is going to, you're going to need some patience for this one. I have, just to kind of give you an example of this, I'm not sure if you know this. I don't tell this story very often, but recently I've been saying a little bit more just because I've gotten to know these guys a little bit better and know you guys a little better on the call. I'm not sure if I've said this to you guys or not, but about 9 years ago, I had that exact same situation. I was, met a girl and she was amazing and I didn't know what I was doing with women at all. So it didn't work out, you know? I ended up moving away, but I kept trying to get in touch with her and keep in touch with her for a long time. And it wasn't going anywhere. As long as I kept in touch with her, it seemed like she really didn't have any reason to talk to me, you know? It would be hard to get a hold of her or, you know, I wouldn't hear her back or whatever. You know, it just kept, it seemed like I was just screwing it up worse, right? And so,
yeah.
So what I did is I stopped contacting her altogether. And I was like, okay, screw this for a bit. I'm going to try to figure this stuff out because I haven't figured this out yet. You know, so I went on this sort of journey to figure out women. And it took me a long time to figure it out because I did it on my own, you know. And this is what I, you know, built the Tao of Badass into. And so I was, you know, I was studying on my own. I was screwing up. It took me forever because I wasn't, you know, no one was coaching me. No one was helping me. I didn't ask anybody. I was just trying to figure it out on my own. And I started, you know, talking to other women eventually and trying to figure out them so maybe I could go back and figure out this first girl. And after about 8 years of trial and error, which it was way longer than I should have needed to do this, I ended up basically running into her again. And I, you know, I had this knowledge in my hands. I had the information and I knew what I was doing. And now we live together, you know, and this was the first girl I ever fell in love with. You know, this is the one that I was like, oh my God, you know, the reason why I got in this in the first place. So the first thing I would say is that the thing that saved me is that I didn't try to force the relationship then. Because if I tried to force it then, I would have screwed it up and we wouldn't be together now. No way, you know. So you have to keep in mind that there's a possibility that you may have to pull back a little bit, make a transformation, and then go back and talk to her. The first thing that you're doing right now that's going to work against you is you're probably, since you talk every day, you're probably building rapport on the phone. Now, when you build rapport, when you build rapport on the phone, you don't have any physical anchor for that rapport. During the rapport process, when you're actually making an emotional connection with somebody, if you're not sitting across from them or next to them or and actually physically touching them while you're building rapport, then you fall into the friend zone. And the reason why is because trust is anchored to touch. And if there's no touch there while you're building trust, what happens is you get the trust, but you don't get the sexuality that attaches to trust. So the physical touch during the rapport process is what allows you to move forward into the sexual stage, the seduction stage. And that's the stage that, you know, if you got there now, you wouldn't be in a situation where you felt like you were in the friend zone, you know? And the reason why that's happening currently is because you're building rapport on the phone. You can't build rapport over the phone unless it's absolutely temporary, like once or twice, and that's it, you know. If she's 250 miles away, and you do want to be with her, I would, you know, either A, your goal is to convince her to come visit you, or B, I wouldn't necessarily say that you should go visit her, especially if you're in the situation that you're in right now, the kind of friend zone situation. It'd be better if you could convince her to come to you, because that would be a massive, commitment for her to do it, and it would be something that she would be committing to doing, and she would have to sort of, as she goes through the process, she'd be like, well, I wouldn't do this for a guy unless I was into him, you know? And she'll sort of backwards rationalize being attracted to you. And this is sort of how we operate. I know it's kind of weird, but it is how we operate as people. So I would do that instead. If you can get her to come out and visit you, good. If you have to, if you're out, if you're going to be where she is already, don't tell her you're coming. Just call her or call her up and be like, hey, I just want to let you know I had to come out here, so I'm in town. If you want to grab something, let me know. You know, I'll be over here at this time. I'll be at this place at this time if you want to hang out. And then that's it. Don't try to ask her on a date, nothing like that, you know. So if I were you, you know, if I were you, if you really do want to go for her, first off, you got to know you're not in a relationship with her. So you can do whatever you want. I mean, you can talk to any women. You can flirt with. You can sleep with any women you want. You can date any women you want. But if you're exclusive with the woman, then you obviously have to tell this one that, you know, you're not going to be able to date her. So what I would do is, you know, there's lots of ways of doing this, but ultimately, I would say that the most powerful way of doing it is to A, stop building rapport on the phone, meaning that make your phone calls short, funny, lighthearted, you know, silly, and then you need to be the one to go, I gotta go, you know, maybe after 10 minutes at the max, I gotta split, I gotta take care of some stuff, you know, and then make a joke and make her laugh and go, all right, I'll talk to you tomorrow, I'll talk to you later, all right, then get off the phone. And watch her response. Watch her start to text you back and want more, you know. And that's what will happen. She'll start to want more from you. And from there, you may be able to get her to come hang out with you. Or maybe she's got a boyfriend and you don't even know about it. You know, that's possible. So you can't give her the thing that she wants from you and let her get everything else from someone else. You know, you need to let her life sort of run its course there. Or if she's dating somebody, her love life, let it run its course there without you. And then when she's ready to come back and get everything she wants, she'll come back to you. If you keep feeding her the thing that she's missing, she'll stay there. And she'll keep, you know, she'll keep dating guys that don't fulfill this emotional part of her. And you're the guy who's fulfilling the emotional part. So she'll get into bad relationships. You'll be causing her to get into like abusive relationships. Because you're feeding her the emotional part of a relationship, and she doesn't need to go anywhere else to get it. So challenge her to go somewhere else to get that from some other guy. And she won't be able to get it like she gets it from you. And as soon as she tries it out a couple times, she'll come back, you know. Or, you know, what would be even better for her, she finds a guy who's great and perfect for her, you know, and she's with that guy, and he fulfills her fully, and you're let go from this. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You're not being led on anymore. So either way, you win. You know, I know that right now it's kind of hard to look at that and go, well, if she found somebody else, that's not a win, you know. That feels like crap. Well, the only way to, you know, like I said, if you're a patient man, you'll be okay with this. The only way to, you have a choice, essentially. I was going to go somewhere else with that, but let me just make it blunt. You have a choice. Either be a part of her past or be a part of her future. And that's your choice. So if you are patient and you want to be a part of her future, you got to give her space. You got to go out and you got to learn your stuff. You have to learn this stuff. Like, you have to know this stuff, John. You know, you're already learning it. You're already getting better. You have to continue. You have to master it. And as you go on through this process of mastery, you'll meet all sorts of women, you know, and they may make you forget about this girl for a little while, you know. But if ever, in the future... What's that? Say again.
Many of the women that I've been meeting have.
Right.
But she's in the back of my mind, and right. Like I said, we talk.
Right. So I would say, you know, that rapport that you've built with her is keeping you and her both hanging on by a thread here. Cut that line. Let you both sort of fall apart. You have to trust that she's going to get on her feet. If she doesn't get on her feet and she doesn't come back, then she's gone anyway. You know, you were desperately trying to keep her on. It's not going to work. You know, you have to go out, get successful, and then come back and then interact with her from a different place, from a place of, like, control, from a place of power, you know. And whenever you do that, things will shift immediately. So the first thing you want to do is cut down your phone calls to be, you know, you don't have to tell her that you want to cut down your phone calls, but you do have to, you know, be more lighthearted. Don't get serious about stuff. Just be playful and fun, and then get off the phone. You know, don't call her in the middle of the night or at nighttime to say goodnight or anything. Call her during the daytime and just go, holy crap, I got to tell you this. It was really funny. Something you probably tell to a friend, you know. I just saw this guy. He was, you know, blah, 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 and just tell her a story. And then it's funny, and she laughs, and you laugh. You go, okay, look, I got to go. I just wanted to tell you because I thought it was funny. I'll talk to you later. And then hang up. You know? She'll say bye. And then she'll start to communicate with you. She'll start to get a hold of you. She'll start to text you, call you, trying to get your attention. You know, and whenever you're in that position, try to get her to come visit you from there. And if she does, you know, you may be able to just snap it up right then, and it might work. But if not, if you're a patient man, You know, you're going to go down this path of self-discovery and self-improvement, and that's where most of your absolute power is going to come from, John. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Well, if you have any other questions at all, man, please let me know, you know?
I appreciate the feedback.
Mm-hmm. Is that it, or are you good, or you good till the next call, or you have anything else?
No, I'm totally good with that. Let's say you set me straight.
Okay. Awesome, man. No, I'm here to help. That's all. So man, thanks for calling, and thanks for sharing that with us. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Also, I sent you a comment,
mm-hmm.
and maybe other people on this call have the same comment,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I'm on your founding members club.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you had a boot camp coming up in Las Vegas in October.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen the date posted or anything like that.
Yeah, we haven't posted the date because we're waiting for the new members area to get done before we posted it. So the new members area is actually, I have it live, not live now for everybody, but it's live for me right now. So I'm going to go check it out. As soon as I approve of it, it goes live. And then we get to post all the dates and everything on there. So should be, you know, by the beginning of next week, we should have a date on there. Anybody who's part of the founding members club will be able to see that. Actually, everybody will be able to see that course. And we will be able to, you'll be able to sort of register and set that up. And you'll see where it is, the exact dates. And you'll be able to start booking hotels and everything so you can get out there. Is that cool?
Okay.
Perfect.
That's cool.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All righty. Well, guys, Brad, anything for you to add to that at all?
Oh, that was great.
Anything for you to Brad to that? looks like we're running out of time here. We have about 5 more minutes. If anyone has any other questions, press *2 now, and I'll be able to get to it real quick. Probably only be able to get to one more question, and looks like no one's really raising their hands right now, so that's good. If you do have a question, just especially a short one, pop it up real quick, press *2 on your phone, and we'll be able to answer it. Brad, do you want to go ahead and quickly go over the rest of the stuff that we want to talk about today, and then I'll sort of head into what we're going to be talking about next week?
Well, you know, we really all have to keep aware of and continue to embrace that, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone, that mentality. I mean, it's just part of being a badass. So
right.
Definitely reiterate that. And, you know, one other last thing that we did touch on is the concept of polar opposing insecurity compensation.
Yeah, that's a big term. Do you want to explain what that means?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, whatever. It really, you know, it goes hand in hand with all this talk about, you know, deepest fears that we've been having. A lot of people will take some of their fears and you know, overcompensate. They don't want other people to see that part of them, so they overcompensate by being the exact opposite. And it's just, you know, it's kind of a weak behavior, and
right.
You know, we want to be able to recognize that and squash it in ourselves, I guess.
Right. So essentially, whenever you are, you know, whenever you do have a fear of people seeing you as something, or a fear that you don't want to become something, polar opposing insecurity compensation is where you focus on that thing you don't want to be, and you end up becoming the exact opposite of it by accident, which is another extreme, which is also unattractive. So you don't want to do that. You want to instead integrate what you're afraid of becoming and realize that that's a part of you a little bit. It's not very comfortable at all. But it's the truth. You know, I had to accept that I was a little bit arrogant at times, and that's okay. You know, if there's something that you don't want to be, like some douchebag you don't want to be, or some shallow guy you don't want to be, or whatever, you know, you have to embrace that part that you're running away from a little bit and realize that there's a part of you, a little bit of you at least, that that is a little bit shallow, that can be shallow at times, that can be arrogant at times, you know, that can be loud at times, you know, and sometimes sometimes hurts people's feelings because, you know, you just don't care, you know. And it also, you may have time, you know, a part of you that's sort of intolerant and you're afraid of that. That's really bad. And you don't like that. Well, you have to understand and accept that about yourself before you can ever get over it. Polar opposing insecurity compensation forces you instead to be a total doormat, or to be, you know, a wet blanket on everybody's fun, because you don't want to be too shallow. You know, you always want to be deep or something, or a nice guy that no women like. I mean, they like, but they don't like, you know. It forces you to screw everything up, essentially. So you want to be in control of that. Anytime you see that you are, you know, focusing on what you don't want to become, you instead need to think about and need to focus on what you do want to become. And then you need to integrate and realize that the thing that you don't want to be is already a part of you. And you already do that thing to a certain extent. And I know it might be depressing in the first instance when you first think about it, but when you realize that that's who you are and you're still a good person, things get a lot easier. You know, you're still awesome. And that's really what's okay. That's what you really need to know, is that that is, you are, you know, part of me is arrogant, but I'm not as arrogant as everybody else. You know, I'm not as arrogant as the guys that I look at and I'm like, oh, that's ugly. It's because they're doing it too much. It's because they're afraid. They're being super arrogant because they're afraid that people are going to think that they're, you know, that they're going to be too humble all the time and they're not going to take any credit for anything. So they have their polar opposing insecurity compensation going on too. So what you want to do is you want to find that middle ground and go, all right, I'm a little bit of both, and that's all right. That's who I am, and that's perfectly fine. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Brad. I appreciate that. The thing I want to talk about now, Brad, we have a calendar running for the founding member calls. I'm going to go ahead and log into it right now because I need to move the next date here back a day. We're going to post this live. You should be able to see the founding members calendar in your members area now, but it'll be more clear as soon as we get this new system live. We had it scheduled for a week from today, but I do believe that we're going to be moving this to Wednesday. So next Wednesday at 6 p.m., you're going to be a part of another founding members call. It'll be the first call of next month, and that means we have a totally new topic that is not inner game based and isn't, you know, what we've been talking about this past month. And that is going to be attraction, which is every guy's favorite subject besides seduction. So we're going to be going over attraction. I'm going to be going over the major stages of attraction. There are three major stages, and they are the introduction, or some people call it approach, some people call it opening, whatever you want to call it. We're going to go over the demonstrating high value stage, where you are sort of showing that you are worth something. And then we're going to go over the qualifying stage, where you get women to chase you. And I'm going to go over in pretty strong detail how to do each one of these things. It's going to be a very dense phone call. It's going to be a lot of content. Come with your questions already in hand, because we're probably going to have a lot of questions next week on Wednesday. You will get an email, of course, letting you know that the call is going to be happening. You'll get a reminder. So put it in your calendar. You can also subscribe to our calendar. We're going to have to figure out how to do that, Brad, how to let everybody subscribe to the calendar so they can see it anytime they want. We'll figure that out, and we'll send you guys the details on how to do that in an email. But ultimately, next week at Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, and whatever time it was today, your time, that's where it's going to be, when it's going to be. We all are also going to try to have this one allow you guys to not have to call in on your phone, so you can just go to the webpage and listen, which would be great. I think I can actually see if you're doing other stuff too. If you go on a website, if you like leave and go to some other page, I can see that you're doing that, so I'll be watching you. But ultimately, yeah, you can do that, and you know, you can record it yourself if you want, but we already recorded this one. This one will be, the replay will be available as soon as we get it edited and we get it uploaded, so we'll have that ready for you immediately. Next week on Wednesday, though, write that down, at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, the next call will be live, and we will be talking about attraction. Do not miss it. Make sure you're there and you're on the call and you're ready to go at 6 p.m. Pacific sharp, because we are going to be rocking immediately, because we don't have time to waste on the next call next week. And then the whole next month, we're going to be talking about attraction, and specifically the three stages of attraction, and how to recognize what stage you're in and sort of see the matrix. So can't wait to show you guys that information. Thank you so much for being on the call, Brad. Thanks for hosting this for us and being the MC of the house. Appreciate it. and thanks to your dogs. So, you know, they're the doggies of the house. So we'll see you guys next week on Wednesday. And until then, if you have any questions, as always, post them in the members area. But if I were you and you have a question you want to get it answered, I'd wait until the new one goes live and then post it there, because we're going to have to port in, manually port in all of the questions that have been asked already in the members area and add them one by one. So make sure that that you wait until that's live. Go live. When it goes live, check it out and start communicating, and it's going to be a whole new world for you. I can't wait. So all right, guys, take care. I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Bye.
The conference is now completed.